We're Samuel. First Samuel. Yeah, we made it through Judges and Ruth, right. And it's definitely we won't cover all the things that are in these books, no way, no how. And some of those we found I did anyway. Not that I didn't know it, but some things are, when I read them, they're hard to be understood. sometimes I, you know, it's a lot in there, but I don't have the gas to get you there. So we just go over them and over them and over them until we, the Lord gives us more understanding, or you. But we are up to 1 Samuel, and at least we can recognize where we are. We know what he's doing in time past with the nation. And I think if we keep in mind the big picture, then we can always appreciate what God is doing back in these books. Especially, and I say this, when you talk to other people, about this, to find out where they are, and you can always explain to them, you don't have to know everything. You can explain to them, but this is in times past, and this is what God was doing with the nation of Israel. It's not you. You don't get back here spiritually. You know, you're not spiritual Israel. You're not a resumer or assumer of their program. It's separate. It's for them. And God is, this is history. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And you can get people to see that God was doing something with a nation of people back here. And it wasn't you and I. And where you and I fit in is with Paul. It makes a big difference if they believe it. Now, if they don't believe it, then, you know, you may as well move on. But as you go through there, it's always the nation of Israel. And he's showing you historically what happened to them, why they aren't who God intended them to be right now. And one of the greatest testimonies to that fact is that they're still a nation of Israel right now. And they're not what God intended them to be right now. But what they are doing is what he promised them, what we went over, is he will punish them if they don't keep their end of the bargain, that law covenant. And they have not kept their end of the bargain. So where they are now is pinned in right here. And when all this is theirs, and you've got right down here in this little area. Why? Because of their disobedience. Because they couldn't keep their end of the bargain. And when the week before last, we saw when he injects Ruth into the scriptures about redemption. They need to be redeemed. Not just as a nation, but also as a people. You buy back the land. You buy back the inheritance, God's inheritance, right? And you don't get a redeemed land and then put some unredeemed people in it. It's both. It's a redeemed land and a redeemed people. Kingdom of priests, holy nation, royal priesthood, blessing to the nations, ruling from Zion, Jerusalem, God's sanctuary, all those things we talked about back there. It just mounts. The information mounts up and you get to see what God's doing. And he gets to Ruth and he says, this is the redemption. You have to be redeemed. And it sets the stage, really, for what's coming after, is to narrow that seed down. They need a kinsman redeemer. That's what Ruth is. When Ruth talks about that, they need a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, who he has to be next of kin to Israel. So what does he do? What does God do when he sets the he chose them that they need redemption? What does God do? He sets the stage for the kinsman redeemer, the T-H-E kinsman redeemer, who is Christ. He's always Israel's next of kin, right? Because he was what? He was in the form of God, but he took upon him the form of a servant and was found in the likeness of man, and he became a servant, right? And he's always, when you ever notice, when you get to Luke, Luke addresses him as the what?
King. Oh, I'm sorry. Son of man.
The son of man.
I've seen
that. The son of man. He's not just for Israel, but he becomes the redeemer for all mankind. But they see him as their redeemer. Because that's how he revealed himself at that time. And he goes through the second Adam. Adam was the first man who was our federal head. All men fell after him or identified with him. Well, all men now identify with Christ. That's why he takes on a body. If there was any other way for him to do it, he would have done it. If he had to be like you and I, like them, but he had to be. It behooved him to become like his brethren. That's what Hebrews said. He had to. And this is for them. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the. Well, how could he say that? Because he took on a body. You don't redeem a man with a bird or an ant. That's why he said it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But he says, a body hast thou prepared me. So he comes down and he becomes the kinsman, the near kinsman, to redeem them. That's what Ruth talks about. And since we passed Ruth, he goes to Samuel, back in Samuel chapter 1. I say that because you're gonna meet people who we won't meet. We all have different people that we'll run into, and they just don't have the level of understanding that they should have. And if we can't help them, if we don't have the level of understanding, at least to show them where they are and where they aren't. And I can't stress enough, you know what, I talk to people day in, day out, week in, week out, and you realize that they have maybe 5 or 6 verses that they're familiar with, and the rest of it, they have no idea. It won't work like that. And it won't work like that for us. When Ed goes, you know what, well, he'll get this, and he'll study, and he gets his sheet, and he gives you that sheet. You got to go back and read that sheet.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And play that tape over again until you can tell it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. With not just because he said it, but you have to understand what's going on here. You can't do that with me, but you can do that with his. He's a little more organized, and I'm working on that. I've been convicted that I cannot, It's got to be where you can grasp it.
Right.
So,
Think on it.
Oh, thank God! All right. Well, think on it too. So, like I said, pray for me in that area. And but anyway, it's we want you to, you know, God wants us to understand what He's doing, and you just, our memory is just not that good, and we're dealing with people's soul, with their edification,
their eternity,
with their eternity, you know. And you know what? And when you know, you, it's, we went over there, you know, those people were hearing things that they never heard before. Mm-hmm. And that lady was about to jump out the building. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
And when, but because, you know what, she had some information that she had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And it was presented in a manner where she could understand it.
Amen.
That's what God wants.
Amen.
You don't go somewhere, if we're just coming here week after week and we're not grasping anything, it's just religion.
Yeah.
We're not, we don't want to be religious. We got out of that, didn't we?
Right.
We don't want to be religious. You know, we want to know what God's doing so you can help the next person. Okay, Samuel.
And as you taught us, if we don't know what God's doing, we sure don't know what the devil's doing.
Well, that's what the verses say, right? And you don't. It's a good chance that you've been captive if you don't know his devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't say that. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices, but most of the Christian, I heard somebody say Christian dumb, D-U-M-B.
Oh, instead of Christian dumb.
Christian dumb. And, but you know what? And Paul says, we're going to get back. In Samuel, he says, verse 1, and we go to Samuel. This is the end of the Judges. And actually, Eli and Samuel were judges, but they were separated. God went through and he had 13 judges in the book of Judges. But with Samuel, Eli and Samuel, he begins a different thing where Eli was a priest. And so was Samuel. But they also function as judges. But he begins to make a break there, and he's dealing with Eli and Samuel as priests. And Eli, well, in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, he starts in verse 1. He says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now here's one, just stop here. Here's a good example where we read things, and the Lord just puts little markers there. He says, here's one woman who had children, but here's another one who had no children. And if you don't know all the stuff we've been through, if you don't retain it, it makes no sense. Or it doesn't have the impact that God would have it to have. He shut their womb up because of this is part of his punishment to them, where he says, if you do what I say do, I'll bless the fruit of your womb. But if you don't, then you won't be blessed. He'll shut the womb up. And you see these, he doesn't tell you how many wombs he shut up, but he puts little markers there for you to know where they are with him. And this is one, she says, that she didn't have, the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah, this is Elkanah, gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but... Says what? But the Lord had what?
Shut up her womb.
Well, why in the world would he do that? Now, people, if you don't know how...
Sign.
If you don't know the what was going on back there, you'll have somebody just say, well, the Lord wouldn't do that. The Lord, he blesses. Every child is a blessing from the Lord. I mean, people say that, don't they? And that's true, but they wouldn't think that the Lord would prohibit childbearing.
Actually, it's a scripture that says the fruit of the womb is a blessing.
But if you take it out of context,
no womb, no fruit.
Now, I'll say, just to give an example, how many today have illegitimate children outside of marriage? Lots. Mm-hmm. And they say, the Lord blessed me with a child. Mm-hmm. And he just said, he says, you know what, don't fornicate. Mm-hmm. Or don't commit adultery. And then you have babies, and you say, the Lord bless me. Well, wait a minute now. So, has God become the author of sin?
No.
Well, what's going on? Right division tells you what's going on. Well, you know what? He doesn't stop you today from having illegitimate children. Like David, when David had his son, he says, he won't live. And David got down, he put on his rags, he prayed, he put ashes on, and Lord, please, 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 Lord, let him live. And I can see the Lord saying, I don't know why you're praying. I already told you, he won't live. And as soon as the child died, he got up, he washed his face, he changed his clothes. But how many people today, if the Lord was punishing, you know how many... I don't want to say this irreverently, but you know how many terminations of pregnancy would be out here? If the Lord was doing that, it'd be a lot. And if he was blessing the fruit of the womb, do you know how many terminations of pregnancy would not happen? I mean, there's women who would terminate, but if he was doing it and the Lord would intervene, he wouldn't let it happen. There was a man back in the Old Testament, I think we talked about this, Onan, where he was supposed to raise up seed to his brother.
Yeah.
And he spilled it. And the Lord slew him because he was wicked. How does that happen now? Does that happen today?
No.
No. But if you don't know how he dealt with, and this was pre-law. Anyway, Samuel, verse 5 says, the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Her countenance was no more, and her countenance was no more sad. Look at verse. And she does have the child where she was asking for the child in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And that's what Samuel means. There's one of those. The Lord puts it there. You say, his name is Samuel. That's what it means. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 12. Now, Eli is a priest, and Eli was sitting down. He's the priest, and he said he sat by a post by the temple. And even though this is God's man right now, he's supposed to be ministering in a temple, a priest. And he's sitting down on the job. But, I mean, these are little things where, you know what, where if you don't know how the operation went, when he goes in there, he's supposed to always, he's to be working, he's to be doing something. In Hebrews, where it said, this man, after he offered the sacrifices once for sin, he did what? He sat down. The other priests, you don't rest. You don't sit down. There's always something to do for them.
There's no chairs in the temple.
There's no chairs.
I guess that's why he was outside sitting.
Sitting down. It's like, what? And not only that is, well, we'll find out. Well, we won't find out because we don't look at all the verses. But he was overweight. He was a very fat man. And he
fell out of the chair.
That's why he fell out of the chair, right? And but these these little things, you know, I love that because you can appreciate what's going on. You know, if you never read those things, you know, but when you know, sometimes I sit back and I'm reading these things and I just crack up because it's so hilarious that you find that, you know what, God has a sense of humor. And that's
people
are always, they're all the same, no matter what age. Verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Now, these are people bringing their offering to the Lord, and they're supposed to cook it, and then the priest, you know, he gets a portion, the people get a portion. But here they are, and they, before you even get there, I see your offering, Sherry, and I says, give me my half right now. He's skipping the Lord. He says, no, you give me, and not just that, give me the best part. The best part was for the Lord. That's why, you know what? What do you expect when he said his sons were functioning in the priest's office, and they were sons of Belial? That's the devil. That's a pagan. You have. I was saying imposters. That was not the word I wanted in there. Apostate, functioning in the priest office, and these are Eli's sons. That's bad. So you know what? Look way down here in 2012. Why do we find it so hard to believe that a man could be in the pulpit and be unregenerate, unredeemed?
Mm-hmm. It's self-pride. We think we're too sophisticated to...
Or the person that we're sitting under, you know what? We respect him as a person, but you can't say, well, he wouldn't take my money.
Mm.
There's no way. That's a man of God. Yeah. Just because he's quoting verses and puts his robe on and puts oil on your forehead or puts you in the water or whatever. These men.
But he tells us what we want to hear.
He tell you what you want to hear, and you ride along with it. Now, these men, no doubt, they dressed in their priestly uniforms. They were in there. They met him at the door. But they were doing everything that the scripture said don't do. Verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with the linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. What we didn't cover, Hannah had gave him back to the Lord since he was a child. She said, you know what, if you give me a son, I'll lend him back to you. Yeah. As a child, and the priest was to be 30 years old or better to fill that office. Now, scripture doesn't say what he did there, but he ministered to the priest. He ministered in that area. I don't know what he did, but she gave him back to the Lord. Because it says, verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being what? A child, girded with a linen ephod. Chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how that they what?
Lay with the women
that what?
Assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now you see, we don't get the gravity of that. You go to Bellevue in the morning. You pull up in the parking lot. You get out of the car and you walk in to worship the Lord, and you catch out the corner of your eye at the door. Wow. That's what you see. You see the pastors, an associate pastor, with the woman at the door. Out in the open.
I missed that part. What was that verse? I was writing the note.
That was verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now, that's when I was reading this, that's why I was wondering. I was like, why didn't the Lord just kill them? Because you head back here when Aaron's sons offered strange fire, he killed them. Now, here's two that are doing much worse than that. But he, you know what? He just lets them go on. Don't know. And I thought maybe because, you know what? And this is just speculation, because up to that point, the Lord wasn't with them anyway.
Exactly.
It didn't matter what went on in there, because he wasn't in there. It had become just a ritual. Because at that time, every man did in their own eyes. That's just, you know, maybe you come up with a different one. Chapter 3. I'm just picking out some highlights here that we can see how bad it was back here. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now you can see that Eli he's old, but he's so neglectful. He let the light go out in the tabernacle.
Chapter 3, verse 3.
Okay. And in verse 4, when Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Where am I? I'm sorry, here am I. For thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli. And Eli said, "Here am I." I'm sorry, I'm just reading too fast. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, when I begin also to make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Now there's the Lord he's going to punish him. You know what I like is the Lord, he told Eli. You don't see where he told him until now, but he told Eli, he says, "I'm going to get you." No, he didn't say it like that, but you know what? Well, Paul, I'm just comparison. When Paul said this, he says, "I have laid the foundation. Another man buildeth thereon." He said, "Take heed. Let every man take heed how he builds on it. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And he says, the day is coming where, you know what? The Lord will try his work. See, the Lord, he'll, you know what? We don't have to check these people out here. You know, with teaching bad doctrine and taking advantage of believers, because he's building on the foundation that Paul laid, and one day he'll have to answer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. You know what? Every knee and every tongue. So you know what? We take heed on our work, what we do. How we do, what we build on, what we listen to, what we believe, what we teach and support. We make sure that it's in agreement with right division. But he told Eli, he says, the day's coming, I'm going to get you. And he told Samuel, he says, "I'm going to get Eli." You know what? He had put Eli to the shelf already. He's not, there's no open vision. So Eli is just functioning. He's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
He's not hearing from the Lord at all. Here's a child where the Lord called this child. And he says, I'm going to take care of Eli and you're going to be my next man. You're the next man. Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also. If thou hide anything from me of all the things he said unto thee. That's just like your mentor, huh? To put the guilt trip on you. It's like, you got to tell me, you know, what did he say? And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, that's God's man now. And that's, you know, they were functioning in ignorance because the Lord wasn't revealing anything to anybody, not even Eli. And he put Samuel here, and this is, you know what? This is another example of his grace. Because they're already going, we know they're going downhill. Mm-hmm. All they deserve right now is punishment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he raises up Samuel and he says, now you and I, we'll have a relationship. And you'll be my voice to the people. Verse chapter 4, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines, and they were began to fight against the Philistines. We're not going to read that. Verse 6, verse 5. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great joy, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Did you get that? Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. What's wrong with that picture? What's that?
They shouldn't have been servants.
They're back. You know what? That's where the Lord, he's showing you, you know what? I'm keeping my end of the bargain here. He says, if you don't do this, then you know what? Your enemies will rule over you. Mm-hmm. And here they are. The Philistines are ruling over the Hebrews. Verse 10, and the Philistines fought and Israel was smitten. As they fled, and they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God was taken. and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Judgment. Lord, you know what? He just, what they thought is, they probably had a flashback where the ark went before them and it destroyed all those nations when they were first coming in. And they, the Philistines come up, and the first thing they think is, go get the ark. And they go get the ark, and they bring the ark back. But they don't know who was in the ark, but who was behind the ark. It wasn't the ark. It was the ark. You know what he said? They said, it was the ark of the God of all the earth. It was him. It was him behind it. So it was the Lord doing it. The ark was just a symbol.
They grabbed the symbol.
They grabbed the symbol. Right. They grabbed the symbol, but God was not there. They went on out, and the Philistines, they remembered. But, you know, we think about it, they probably knew, too, that it's not the same. It's not the same as it was back here. And they got him. What they should have did was went to get Samuel and said, what should we do? So here's a man, even though they know that God was speaking to through Samuel, they still did their own thing.
Yeah.
They still went on their own. Chapter 4, verse 12. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. He didn't. What about his sons? At least, you know, Eli, you know what? His heart was there. He says, and his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army and fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. So, you know what? That was his undoing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You think about it. I could, you feel bad for Eli because he, through a neglect, he let the ark go. But he did care enough when he heard that it was gone. You know what? You can just see, just, oh, you know, and you can appreciate that somewhat. But the damage had been done, and the Philistines got the ark. Now, I tell you what, we're going to stop right there because it kind of shift gears. Yeah, because then we pick it up with Samuel and find out how he deals with that nation. So let's have a word of prayer, then we'll close out. Father, we do thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to look into it. Lord, take these things and just open our hearts to read how you dealt with the nation. Lord, make these things interesting to us just so we can appreciate your dealings with the nation. And Lord, have we learned from time past to rest in you and to try not to make the same mistakes that were made in the past. because you said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Lord, we thank you for the recording of these things. Lord, press them on our hearts and our minds that we might find joy and peace in believing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.